Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. John Forte is in studio here and with Riverstone Health and also the public health director for Yellowstone County. John, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Tom.
You're in studio, too. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
We got, you know, only 20 minutes to get through this, and there's so much to know about Kratom. It's a mystery to a lot of people right now. But you have looked at what it is. You've looked at the laws, and we have been overlooking some things. So you made a policy directive for Yellowstone County, which I think – others across Montana are going to be interested in and probably emulate.
Yes, absolutely. What we're doing isn't new. We're just following existing rules and regulations through the state of Montana. And we're enforcing Montana's food code and the FDA's food code. Back in 2015, the state legislature and the state DPHHS adopted the FDA's food code. And that very specifically says, you know, we can't have food ingredients that are not generally recognized as safe. It's GRAS list. And that is the federal standard required to make sure that ingredients in foods that are sold in licensed food establishments across the state and across the country are safe.
A simple policy. I'm glad it's on paper.
Yeah.
And you looked at that and made a determination, I think, is very logical here.
Absolutely. And, you know, this has been going on. Kratom entered the U.S. market sometime in the 2000s. And there have been stories about Vietnam vets bringing it back from Southeast Asia years and years ago. But it really became a marketable substance for sale in the early 2000s. Okay. But without any FDA regulation. It's not a dietary supplement. It's not an active food ingredient. And so jurisdictions across our state, bigger cities like Missoula, Bozeman, up in Whitefish, they have not allowed it to enter their food supply. It's not allowed to be sold in licensed food establishments there. And so we had a gap here in Yellowstone County. And what we're doing is simply closing that gap and educating the public about the potential dangers of both natural leaf, right? Just because something is natural doesn't mean it's safe.
What?
The highly synthetic garbage, the 7-OH.
Yes.
And so we'll talk about the two active alkaloids in Kratom. It's mitragynine, which is the more prevalent in the natural leaf substance, and 7-OH, or 7-hydroxymitragynine. And that is what's being concentrated. That is what the FDA is focused on. The Trump administration, our own attorney general here in Montana, has said we need to get this garbage off the streets. And we have the ability to do that within licensed food establishments. But I need the support of our state legislature, of the Board of Pharmacy, of the AG and others to really focus in on the places that 7-OH is being sold that aren't licensed food establishments.
Yeah, yeah. So you have an arm here that you're employing, so to speak. And I see like other counties following this. Have you had some inquiries about this? First, we have to talk about too what Kratom is, but I'm curious about how the state of Montana, from that public health standpoint, is trying to address a substance that is legal still, but also dangerous.
Yeah, it's in this weird gray area. You know, the FDA and the federal government says that it's not legal to market this as a dietary supplement, as a food ingredient, or as a substance. But yet nobody's really gone after the industry and said, you know what, we've got to regulate this. The industry has pushed for regulation. The natural leaf folks have said, hey, there's this thing called the Kratom Consumer Protection Act. We need to enact age restrictions and do more research behind this product. And I fully support age restrictions, more research, figuring out what levels of mitragynine and 7-OH are considered safe.
Oh, yeah.
I would love the FDA and the Gov to tell us, hey, this is the product that can be sold, and we'll approve that, right? The other thing people get mixed up on is kava. We're not talking about kava. We're not coming for kava. Kava is a recognized, federally recognized dietary supplement. Can be sold, can be provided to adults over 18. That's not an issue here. We want to support local businesses. We want to work with our kava bars. We want to work with others that are out there, you know, selling a legal substance.
And they want that too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so that's the other piece. And, you know, I want to talk about what is this thing what called kratom, right?
Yes.
And it's this tropical tree. It's native to Southeast Asia, and it is related to the coffee plant. But it's, instead of caffeine, we're talking about two opiates, and we're talking about mitragynine and 7-hydroxymitragynine, or 7-OH. And both of those ingredients activate your body's opiate receptors and give you the same euphoria that other natural opiates give you, like the poppy and opium or morphine or codeine. Those are all natural opiates, but they're also regulated, and they are prescribed mostly. And so what we have are these natural substances, particularly in the case of 7-OH, it is 13 more times more potent than morphine. That's a dangerous substance.
What?
That's a dangerous substance.
Yes.
And so that is why the federal attention is so high on 7-OH. And we need to take some urgent action there. But this is going to be, if it isn't already, and I believe it is, our new opiate epidemic. You know, we've seen fentanyl take over the streets, and 7-OH is quickly replacing fentanyl as the drug of choice.
What does it do? I mean, how is it used legally? I know there's powders, there's teas, there's shots. I mean, it's definitely used as a drug, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. It's sold and marketed, you know, particularly the more natural stuff as a social tonic, right? As a, you know, it's a non-alcohol alternative, yeah. You know, come create some, you know, social bonds and bring people together in community. I'm all for creating community. We need more of that, particularly here. You know, we've got to bring people together and talk about things, talk about kratom, talk about the world around us and create some social connections. But we also have to do that safely. And we've seen overdoses. We have seen at least 25 overdoses across the state of Montana because of kratom and 7-OH. And just recently, over the past year, Idaho Falls just put out a press release earlier this week. They had 6 deaths this past year over the last 18 months that were solely because of mitragynine, that more natural substance.
6.
6 deaths.
Over a period of what?
Over a period of 18 months.
Yeah.
And so it is becoming more and more prevalent to see overdoses just related to mitragynine. We've seen combined overdoses, you know, kratom use with other drugs, you know, fentanyl, alcohol, prescription drugs. That's why it is not safe at all to use any kratom product if you're on a prescription medication. You've got to talk to your doctor. Mm-hmm. There are great resources out there online from the kratom industry that break down all of the potential drug interactions. If you're on a prescription medication, you know, it'll tell you how badly it'll interact with your kratom use.
And you talk about the kratom industry, and that to me is sort of a term that perks my interest, right? Because we're playing catch up. I think this is what you have said. We're playing catch up when it comes to kratom. And there's an industry already behind it. Now, are there bad players in this industry? Is there connections to, you know, drug trafficking, or what is this industry, and is it legitimate?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, Tom. I think there are connections, and, you know, there are several countries in Southeast Asia where this stuff originated, Malaysia, Singapore, Myanmar. It's native. It's a native plant, and they've banned it. They've said, don't sell it here. We don't want this in our population. We know what it's been doing to people here in Southeast Asia. Let's get rid of it. And so we are seeing this stuff come in. And, you know, maybe it's China. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe there's a bad actor out there that is trying to flood our market and make this drug popular with Americans,
right,
to take advantage of our need for addictive substances. But the FDA has stopped the import of some Kratom products. They just recently, I think it was in the news, they took several thousand pounds of this stuff off the streets and stopped it from coming into the country. And so as the feds step up their enforcement, DEA, FDA, from this stuff being imported, we also want to work with the folks that are trying to make this a legitimate product and legitimate business. But we need regulation to say this is the amount of that substance that can be in a product.
John Forte is with us. We'll take a break because I'm up against it right now, and we'll come on back with more to learn about Kratom and first enforcing regulations, creating regulations around Kratom. You know, that's probably the very next step that's needed. John Forte is with us, Yellowstone County Health Officer, CEO of Riverstone Health. We're talking about Kratom. Tomorrow, it is New Year's Day. Katie Verderber will have a best of Voices of Montana, like he says, quite sheepishly. She is actually going to be in Milan, Italy, as a member of the U.S. Paralympic team, right? So we chatted with her a little while ago. It was December, early December. That is going to be a part of the best of tomorrow. And then the Jeff Wells story. It's a conversation. Iraq veteran Jeff founded this Wish for Our Heroes and Walk Among Heroes and Winston's Heroes, and it's just taken off. It's a great story about an Iraqi veteran giving back in a really unique and heartwarming way. The Jeff Wells story. That is for tomorrow on Voices of Montana Best Of. John, rip into it again here. I mean, and we're going to have you back because there's more to talk about here. We're dealing with a substance that doesn't really fit into a lot of categories necessarily, or it hasn't been categorized yet, so it's hard to regulate.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think that's one of the other key issues we have is it's hard to test for. You have to do a tox screen. You have to do blood, urine, or hair sampling. And so if Montana Highway Patrol suspects somebody of a DUI and they don't blow a blood alcohol and they pass their sobriety test, they have no easy way to say, you know what, somebody's actually on Kratom. Mm-hmm. Or when they're overdosing. You know, it takes naloxone. It takes that Narcan to reverse Kratom overdose. It's such a strong opiate in some cases that it takes multiple doses of Narcan to reverse that Kratom overdose. So it's a really interesting substance, and we're just trying to work with industry, work with business, work with healthcare providers across the state and our region to bring awareness and say, this could be a problem impacting our community.
What will it take to get local compliance?
So compliance is always a two-way street. Right. And I think public health learned its lessons over the past few years. And we continue and always have operated on a 2-3-strike system. We provide education and guidance on the laws like we're doing today, work with business owners towards a solution. And the vast majority of businesses work with us and they respect our role in keeping the public safe and healthy. And on the rare occasion that they don't, we're then able to engage with the county attorney. And then with the state of Montana to resolve the issue.
The necessity for, and I've got like a minute left here, necessity for the legislature to address this. How willing are they? How likely are they to address it in a meaningful way?
Yeah, actually, after I leave your studio, I'm going back to meet with some local legislators.
Oh, good.
And have an additional conversation on this issue. We need to do something in the 2027 session to address it. We've got a lot of willing local legislators that are, you know, very influential and willing to take action on this and create some smart legislation and regulation that will not only impact Yellowstone County, but be impactful across the state of Montana.
All right, I'm switching gears. What is my main health resolution for 2026, John?
2026.
What should my main health resolution be for 2026?
get more exercise, get outside, you know, spend some time with family and friends, protect your mental health, and don't be afraid if you're feeling down to talk to somebody, tell somebody about it, and protect yourself and your family.
I appreciate that an awful lot. You know, we look at healthcare and we've got expenses and we've got mandates, and but it's still in our own hands, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in, okay?
Thank you.
And come on back.
We'll do.
We need to talk about this one more.
Appreciate it.
John Forte again, Riverstone Health. Thanks for joining us for the podcast. And join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.